You are listening to a sermon by Andrea Irwin, recorded on Sunday, July 1st, 2018, at the Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I've been told by a couple of people here this morning that during our conversation period after the sermon, you are usually very gentle with your guests. And so I would just like to hold you to that, despite the fact that the title of my message has the word unruly in it. So if I absolutely had to sum up this morning's gospel reading with a quote from Star Wars, it would come from the movie The Empire Strikes Back. There is a scene where Luke Skywalker is meeting with the wise Yoda for the first time, and at the sight of something so unusual, so unnatural, Luke says to his new master, I don't believe it. And Yoda replies, that is why you fail. Now, as Henry informed you this morning as he was introducing me, I am a third-year student at the Vancouver School of Theology, and I do just want to clarify that so far, not one of my professors has suggested that starting a sermon with a Star Wars quote is a good idea. In fact, many of them might warn against it, but I want to talk to you this morning about being faithful and unruly. So I thought perhaps I would set the stage with a quote that introduces faith in an unusual way. What exactly does it look like to step out of our comfort zone and into a place that requires courage? A place that requires us to practice what we preach. A place where what we say we believe is showcased by our actions. How can we move from claiming we have faith to fully embodying it? In today's gospel reading, we meet two people in the same scene who seem to throw caution to the wind in order to experience the life-altering power of Jesus. Two people whose disorderly faith appears to be the catalyst for miraculous transformation. We meet the bleeding woman who has, by all accounts, been cast out of society and deemed unclean for a condition she has had for 12 years. A woman who cannot so much as brush up against another without causing them to also become unclean. A woman shamed for something she was unable to control or even understand. A woman who seems to believe that touching Jesus will make it all change. And we meet Jairus, a synagogue leader who's on the verge of losing his child. A man who knows that his leaping to Jesus' side will not necessarily be looked favorably upon by his people. A man who also appears to believe that a simple touch has the power to heal his daughter of a terminal condition. Our gospel reading begins when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him. Now, it's important that we know where Jesus was just coming from here. This transition is in our story for a reason. Jesus has just returned with his disciples from crossing the Sea of Galilee. That much is clear. But this wasn't just any crossing. This was the crossing where Jesus decided to take a well-deserved nap and got woken up by the screams of the disciples, thinking that they were going to die in the storm that had unleashed itself upon them. And when what Jesus says and what Jesus does at the end of this story lays the groundwork for the gospel reading we hear today. Jesus yells out to the sea, "Be still." And it was still. And he turns to his disciples and says, "Have you no faith?" So when we meet Jesus on this side, and the first voice that is heard above the crowd is the pleading voice of Jairus saying, "You have to come. Heal my dying daughter. I know if you touch her, she will be well." Well, we have to think that a little part of Jesus gave the disciples the side eye and said, "This was what I was talking about." We know nothing about Jairus' daughter other than that she was young, about 12 years old, and that she was deathly ill. There was no personal connection, no reason Jesus should choose to heal her personally over another child. What we know is that Jairus asked with such conviction, such certainty, such courage, that Jesus went with him. And as they were moving to the home where the girl lay, the disciples followed, and so did the crowd. Hundreds of them. And out of the crowd came a woman who wasn't allowed to be there. A woman who the law required to be isolated because of her condition. A woman who was so shamed, she was willing to risk what little she had left so that she could touch the cloak of Christ, because she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." And Jesus wheels around after experiencing what the scripture said was a power going forth from him. And we can only imagine in this size of crowd, he had to bellow it out, "Who touched me?" And this woman, aware that she had been made well, has the courage to say in front of everyone, "I did. Because I knew if I could just touch you, I would be changed. I would have new life." And Jesus responds, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed." Notice here that Jesus does not say, "You got what you came for. I made you well. Off you go." Jesus does not so much as take credit for the miracle. Instead, he gives credit to the woman's faith, to her exercise of trust. The power came from Jesus, but the action came from the woman. She had unfaltering faith, and despite the potential consequences, she reached out. That's an unruly move. Now, in a story like this, we get to choose what we focus on. And so often, we want to focus on, we need to focus on the miracle. The bleeding stops, the scripture tells us. But that's not what Jesus is directing our attention to. Jesus points to the woman's faith. Her new beginning, her new life, it isn't the result of an all-powerful touch. It's the result of a choice to breathe life into her faith and position herself for her provision. We have all been promised this new life. But are we unruly enough to believe it? There is a marvelous quote from a retired politician named Donald Rumsfeld, and I'll read it slowly. It says, "There are known knowns. These are things we know that we know. Then there are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things we know we don't know. But then there are unknown unknowns. There are things we don't know we don't know. Sometimes I think, when it comes to our faith, we act like we know we don't know. But I would argue that our faith isn't a known unknown. It's a known known, by definition. Of course, we can't possibly know what is unknown, but we do know what we have witnessed. That there is comfort in places we couldn't have possibly thought there to be comfort. That there is love that goes beyond comprehension, beyond what we could ever understand. That there is strength where there appeared to be only frailty. That there are miraculous transformations that take place in ourselves and in those around us. We know this to be true. The unknown is not in our faith itself, but in what God is going to do with it when we put it into action. Jairus knew that Jesus was the only hope he had of seeing his daughter live. He defied social customs and disregarded healing norms, and instead of waiting and wishing, he took desperate action, falling on his knees to ask Jesus to please do something. And when people came from Jairus' house and said, "Leave him alone, your daughter is dead," Jesus dismissed them. He said to Jairus, "Do not fear, only believe." And he brought his disciples with him to the house anyway. And when he entered the house, he excused those who were in tears, and he sent the ones who didn't believe, the ones who laughed at his claim that the girl was just sleeping, he sent them all outside. He took Jairus' daughter by the hand and said to her, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up. Jairus hadn't given Jesus details about his daughter that would make her of any more importance to him than another. He hadn't tried to justify his request. He simply believed that Jesus could change the circumstances. That is an unruly move. And again, we read this story and we want to focus on the miracle. Jesus raised someone from the dead. But that's not what Jesus is pointing us to. In fact, Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone that I did that." Because the real transformation wasn't the feat. It was the faith. Our faith should never be the thing that stands in the way of new life. Our faith isn't an excuse to not take action. It's an exercise in how much action we need to take to live the life Christ imagines for us. God does not exist under a structure of limitation. And if our faith is imposing walls, we're not doing it right. It is supposed to point us in the direction of a life beyond our wildest dreams. A life where we are healed from our shame, from our ignorance, from our complacency, from our failures. A life where we are raised from the dead, from those dark nights, our rock bottoms, our shortcomings. Where we are raised into new life. A life where what we believe has the power to change absolutely everything. In our Hebrew Bible text from this morning, we come face to face with David, crying out to God with relentless anger and grief after suffering the loss of both King Saul and Jonathan, two men he describes as courageous and brave in the name of Israel. Two men who, despite their faithful and extremely unruly battle, lost their lives. And it is to them we turn, not to teach us how our faith requires sacrifice, although it does, but to teach us what a display of courageous faith can inspire in the lives of people around us. David laments for the loss of his beloved Jonathan, for the loss of Saul the mighty. But out of death, we know, comes new life. The life of David, rising up to step into his calling, a calling that requires unruly faith. The woman touching Jesus' cloak, the man begging for his daughter to be healed. These people are not just a way to see what God can do. They are also teaching us what our faith can do. They are teaching us, disciples today, as the disciples back then, that through our faith, unashamed, undaunted, unruly faith, we can expect miracles. Growing up, I had a minister who used to end each service with homework. And she disguised it as a sending out or a commissioning, but we could all read between the lines, especially when she would ask us the following week what we had accomplished. So I used to love this homework, because faith for me was a really hard thing to grasp. And when I could put something on a list and check it off, I felt like I was doing God proud. Surely my faith was at least a B minus or so. I have since grown out of thinking that faith is something that needs to be quantified. But I have also grown into thinking that faith is something that cannot be left up here. It cannot even be left in here. It needs to exist out there. And in this day and age, that in itself feels a little bit unruly. So I ask you this week, as homework, if you will, to pay attention to the places in your life that faith can come alive, the place where you can say, yes, I believe it. Perhaps this is giving. Even though you are fresh out of dollars or time or just patience. Perhaps this is allowing yourself to experience insane gratitude for all that you have been given. Maybe, like David, you need to express heartbreak at the top of your lungs to God because you don't understand. Crying out, believing with your whole self that God is present with you in your lament. Maybe you invite someone to church, or you tell the homeless person you hand a loonie to that you would like to pray with them for a better tomorrow. Or perhaps unruly faith means giving yourself permission to start over, knowing that Christ has already raised you from the dead. And when you find yourself in the moments where your faith has an opportunity to come alive, where you think that just maybe there might be a miracle lurking, and you catch yourself in that very human moment wondering, is this allowed? Is this kind of faith acceptable? I can't do this. Remember that Jesus says, you can. Woman, your faith has healed you. Little girl, get up and walk. Now that was an unruly move.